is hosted by the Arizona area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to help members take their recovery to the next level, or at least up a notch. So if you'll all join me in a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer, and feel free to unmute if you would like to. Thank you. God,
and
give us serenity.
Having serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
So we'll be meeting for an hour and a half this morning, and we'll have three speakers on the topic, rewards in all aspects of my life, a lesson in acceptance. Okay, so this morning, Grace has volunteered to read our preamble, which will be up on the screen in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Grace. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic.
Thanks, Grace. And Beth is now going to read our workshop opening for today.
Morning, I'm Beth. Although some service roles have titles and job descriptions that might intimidate some, the people who fill these roles have endured the problems of alcoholism just as we have. Yet they are proof that Al-Anon is a program of self-discovery and personal growth. Participating in service projects with them can be an inspiring opportunity to get to know them at a different level and learn that we also have great potential for personal growth. Probably most everyone was at least a little reluctant to take on a first service project or position. We are often unsure of our abilities and afraid of the commitment. If we haven't yet engaged in service, it's easy to think of all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't. However, the magic of Al-Anon service lies in benefits that we cannot anticipate before we've actually done any service. Those of us involved in service are grateful because it will boost our self-confidence and self-esteem, which some of us experience as an unanticipated miracle. That's why many of us look back at our early service work and consider it a gift from our higher power. Members who haven't yet participated in service can't yet imagine feeling this way. Often, those of us affected by alcoholism have a tendency to isolate ourselves from others. We may be afraid or unwilling to request help. Recovery in Al-Anon is all about reaching out for help, and service is no exception. If our sponsor is active in service, we can ask for assistance. If not, we may wish to find a service sponsor who can guide us. By asking for help in service, we again move towards healthy relationships and away from the outdated thinking that tells us we have to do everything on our own. No one can do it alone. No one has to do it alone. Al-Anon service is a team effort working for a shared spiritual purpose. As our self-esteem increases from the growth we experience in service, we are better able to take home our renewed feelings of confidence and be better partners in all our relationships. We also discover that we are capable of learning healthy forms of conflict resolution, which we can also apply in our other relationships. It is impossible to think ourselves into recovery. We have to take action to learn and experience different behaviors. Through our willingness to participate in service, we open ourselves up to new growth and the opportunity to learn new interpersonal skills. This will help us build healthy relationships both inside and outside the fellowship.
Thanks, Beth. And that's from Discovering Choices, pages 244 to 245, that copyright Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Inc., 2008. And Rosemary is going to now read the reading, the August reading from When I Got Busy, I Got Better. If you want to unmute yourself, Rosemary, and go ahead and start.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm Rosemary and happy to be here. I'm on a new computer, so bear with me. The touchpad is very touchy. Okay. A recent brief encounter in service. I'm sorry. August reading, A Lesson in Acceptance. A recent brief encounter in service reminded me of the far-reaching benefits of practicing acceptance in my life. A call to our information service from a man obviously agitated and confused, wanting to attend his first Al-Anon meeting as soon as possible. He stated preferences for the location and makeup of the meeting that made it clear to me I had little in common with him, except, of course, the experience of having been affected by someone else's drinking. While talking with the caller, I had a vivid realization that my personal reaction to his preferences was not affecting my response to his call for help. I accepted my internal reaction as valid for myself, and I accepted his particular requests as useful for guiding him to a meeting where he might feel most comfortable. More important, I accepted the fact that I was talking with a person feeling tremendous pain. While I haven't known the same circumstances he reported, I've known the turmoil resulting from them. Despite the superficial differences, I recognize his quandary. We shared a common bond. We had both been affected by someone else's drinking. The effects of my brief encounter with this harried newcomer stuck with me and seemed to spill over into other areas of my life. I realized that responding to calls for Al-Anon information had increased my ability to listen to others and to stay focused on our common ground. Along with increased self-acceptance, I found common ground with acquaintances and coworkers more easily than usual. The conscious effort I've made to practice acceptance during a 2-minute telephone conversation had a far-reaching effect on the rest of my day. I was able to focus on common tasks without being distracted by individual differences in personality or opinion. With gratitude, I noticed that those around me seemed to concentrate on simply doing the best they could without glorifying their successes or justifying their failures. My encounter with this troubled newcomer was a good illustration of the way the rewards of service can spread into other areas of my life. A dash of acceptance added through the grace of a higher power can unexpectedly spread to color all aspects of my life. I ask myself, what lessons of service have I applied to my life? From When I Got Busy, I Got Better, page 2829, copyright at Al-Anon Family Groups, Headquarters Incorporated, 1994.
Each of our three panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. Okay, so today our first speaker is Judy Z from Nebraska. Want to unmute? Thanks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Judy, and I am from Nebraska, and I'm a very grateful Al-Anon member. I feel honored that you asked me to participate today. I always feel like doing this and participating in Al-Anon is, you know, really helpful to me personally, and I'm always glad to do it. Thinking about this workshop and the lesson in acceptance, the reading there, got me obviously thinking about my early days with service, my early experience with service. My head goes back there to the beginning sometimes. And, you know, my earliest experience of service wasn't really even my own service. It was my sponsor's. She was very involved in Al-Anon service herself. She was very much of the opinion that service is recovery. And when I asked her to sponsor me, I was only just a couple, 3 months into the program. And she had just been recently elected delegate of our area. I did not know that when I asked her to sponsor me. I had no idea what a delegate was or what they do. I just knew it was important to her. I mean, she talked about it. And then, of course, I learned about it later. But she would be invited to workshops or anniversary meetings to tell her story or to give her delegates report. And whenever she did that, she would pile a group of people into her little minivan and off we'd go. And those experiences taught me that, first of all, service can be a fun thing. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh my God, they've asked me to do something and I don't want to do it. It can really be a fun thing. And just being in that van, I mean, sometimes it was an hour to wherever we were going. In one case, it was an overnight trip to the other end of the state. But what that gave me was a connection to the other people in that van, to the other Al-Anon members. And I formed some friendships with those people and that endure to this day. And I'm just really grateful for that. So just being exposed to that kind of commitment to Al-Anon was really helpful to me. When I, you know, she encouraged me obviously to get involved in service early on, just doing the things that we all do, you know, set up, clean up, you know, chairing a meeting, all of that stuff. And, that helped me to, well, first of all, it helped divert my attention from what the alcoholic was doing, which was beneficial to me. it gave me a place to put that sense of responsibility and sense of purpose that I had, you know, that I had been using up in my life and monitoring what the alcoholic was doing. It gave me a place to put those energies for a while and gave me a sense of consistency so that I could keep coming back to the meeting because I felt responsible to do whatever job it was that I had signed up to do or that I had been asked to do. So I got some consistency in my life in doing that. I got some consistency in my meeting routine, which also has been very helpful to me throughout the years. It gave me a place to do a job without being criticized for it and without being judged on how I was doing it. And then gave me the opportunity to give that job away to somebody else and then return the favor. No criticism on how they were doing it, no judgment on how they were doing it, just to be able to walk away from it and let somebody else do it. I, like a lot of Al-Anon people, came into the program with a lot of control issues, and that was hard for me at first. It can still be hard for me occasionally, but I understand now that the ideas and the ways I have of doing things and the ideas and the ways somebody else has of doing things may not always be the same, but that doesn't mean somebody has to be wrong and somebody's right. You know, it could be that we just have different ways to go about it. And that was a big lesson for me in Al-Anon, a real big lesson. So I learned through those old van rides and other times when I was doing some service in Al-Anon that it can be fun and it can be something that I can approach with an idea of this can be enjoyable, this can be fulfilling, this can provide me a sense of accomplishment. It's all in the attitude. And that, you know, that was a big, that was big for me in Al-Anon, was being able to change that attitude from something that was doom and gloom, you know, if it can go wrong, it will. I mean, that's what I came into Al-Anon with. Being able to change my attitude and to look at something and think to myself that, you know, this doesn't have to be frightening. It can be a new experience that's fun and that gives me a feeling of accomplishment when I'm done with it. I learned to maybe disagree with people without being disagreeable and learn to disagree with people without caring about a big resentment over whatever the disagreement was. You know, it being in service helped me to not take some of that stuff so personally. You know, if somebody disagreed with me, it didn't mean they didn't like me. If I didn't agree with somebody else's idea, it didn't mean I didn't like them. It just meant that we didn't agree on whatever that idea was. And once I could take that personality out of it, it was much more comfortable for me to be in a situation where there's a little bit of confrontation or there's a little bit of, we don't quite get along on this particular issue. it was easier for me once it became less personal. I started speaking of one of my earliest memories of being in an area meeting. There was a woman there who I can't remember even what the subject was, but it was kind of a heated conversation we had going. And there was one woman in particular, I remember who talked pretty forcefully on her thoughts about whatever this was. And then there was a couple of other people that talked pretty forcefully on the totally opposite idea that they had going on in that. And, you know, it was a little uncomfortable for me at first. I was kind of new in Al-Anon and, you know, confrontation is not something I walk into willingly usually. But I saw this happening and the thing was, is that once we got to a break in the meeting, I saw this woman walk over to these other people and they were talking and they were laughing and they were obviously not mad at each other. And it had a really big impression on me at the time, because that was really, I think, my first inclination of taking the personality out of that conflict and remembering that, you know, just because we disagree on this one idea doesn't mean we have to disagree on everything, or doesn't mean that we can't get along on a lot of other things. And that has served me well over the years. I mean, I took some of that idea with me when I was working. It gave me a voice sometimes where I could present an idea without being afraid of it being shot down, or even if it was, without really, taking it so that I couldn't function, you know. There were many times before Al-Anon, I think, that I wasn't a participant sometimes because I was afraid to present ideas. I was afraid people wouldn't like them. I was afraid they wouldn't like me. I was afraid, you know, of a lot of things. And just this idea that that we can, you know, we can agree without being disagreeable, just those kinds of things helped me tremendously in my work life when I was working on projects with other people at work. Service helped me to learn how to ask for help. I think that was in the reading too that we had today. Service helped me to learn how to ask for help, you know, that I didn't have to feel like I had to go it alone, that I could take other people's ideas and use them if they offered them, you know, or I could ask. It helped me learn how to delegate responsibilities at work. It helped me, you know, it helped me to interact with other people. I mean, I could learn how to do these things in Al-Anon before I inflicted them on the general population and really work on the technique in Al-Anon. We have, you know, I think about this today now too, because it seems like there's a lot of stuff in the world today, in particular politics and COVID and all that kind of stuff, where people are pretty polarized. And my husband and I have some very dear friends that there are issues within those subheadings that we just don't agree on. And what I've been able to do today is to take what I've learned in Al-Anon, and when we get together with these people, we can find common ground to talk about. We have a lot of things that we have in common with each other, a lot of things that we do agree on that we can discuss and that we can have an enjoyable time being together. And we don't have to follow down that path of going to the place where we know we don't agree. And I think for me that's one of those really kind of overall issues or overall concepts that I've gotten from Al-Anon, is that, you know, to look for the similarities in us instead of the differences. I mean, that is something that my sponsor taught me from the very beginning. You know, she said, you're going to find people in meetings that, you know, the situation is not going to seem the same, or the relationship is not going to seem the same. But if you take what they're saying and fit it to your own relationship, or just, you know, look for the idea behind it, that what we're looking for here is similarities, not differences. And the more similarities I can find, the easier it is for me to feel like a part of the group or feel like a part of Al-Anon as a whole. And those ideas, like I said, help me today when I'm with people who I do have a lot in common with, except for a few things, you know, that's the idea, is to look for the similarities. And if I can do that, I get along much better with everybody in the world. And so I think that the area conflicts and working out those things in our area meetings and stuff just reminded me that we all have a common purpose. And that's where my focus should be, and not on what divides us, but on what unites us. And service has given me more than I expected to get when I got an Al-Anon. I don't often today think of, I don't know, like this woman did in the reading with the lesson on acceptance. You know, it doesn't always come to mind to me when I've used one of these concepts until like days later or whatever. But I know that what I've learned in Al-Anon through just being in meetings, but also being together and being of service to Al-Anon, has helped me to learn how to do that numerous other places. And I today am so grateful for that. I think that's it for me. I hope I used my right amount of time. And as I said, thank you for asking me.
Great. Thanks, Judy. Yeah, I'm glad you were able to do this today. And that was a great talk. Thanks again for being here. So our next speaker is going to be Donna from Montana.
Good morning, everyone. I am from Montana. And one of the gifts, rewards I've gotten from service is I know Lori and I know Judy from that, plus a few other people that are on here. So that's always one of the bonuses. But I can ditto almost everything Judy said, I think, but I'll share my own experiences. You know, when I got here, I couldn't even talk to more than one person at a time, really. I was so shy, and I think I'd been so isolated that I was just not comfortable in my own skin. And, you know, within, it was less than a year, the person that would end up being my sponsor asked me if I would be the GR. And of course, I had no idea what that entailed, but went to the first assembly, thought it was extremely boring, and but didn't have a clue what was going on. But, you know, one of the things that helped me was that it gave me, I don't want to say ownership in the program, but it sure made me feel more of a part of, and made me responsible to the group. And, you know, I would be there every week and give my little reports when I had to. But my gifts are so many from the program. It's just amazing. But I had these things written down, and I probably won't share any of them, but I discovered one thing about myself is I overthink things. So perfectionism is another thing that always gets to me, but I know going to the assembly was really a learning experience for me, and to be able to, like Judy, I was at an assembly fairly early on when there was some conflict, and to be able to see how that worked out, and that people could talk about things afterwards and be the best of friends. That was something that was amazing to me. And, you know, I honed my listening skills and being in service, because I realized yesterday that instead of listening to someone with the idea of what I'm going to say to them, I just listened. And I had one of the best conversations I've had with anyone for a long time. And I just realized that, oh, I have come a long ways on that, because I'm always wanting to put my two cents worth in. And I didn't do that. I've also learned that first impressions are not always the correct impressions, because I'm very judgmental. So I've learned that some of the people that I have, when I first meet them, I'm not so comfortable with them, but I've come to love them just like we talk about. I had a sponsee at one time that I didn't like, and I didn't like her before she asked me to sponsor her, I'll put it that way. But she taught me so much about acceptance and listening and just loving someone. She just needed someone to love her. That was all she really needed. And I learned that, I mean, her world was totally different from mine. And I learned a lot of things from her. And and I've got to say, you know, public speaking is not my favorite thing, as you can tell, but I've had to do it a lot and with larger and larger crowds. And I still don't like it, but every time I do, I always get something out of the experience. I grow a little bit more. And I have been in groups where they went around the room and talked about being extroverts or introverts. This was an Al-Anon program, and 99% of us said we were introverts. And and I thought, but all to varying degrees. I also really like people, which I didn't know either until I got into service. But I have learned to take care of myself, that after I'm around a lot of people, I need to take a break and kind of recharge. And that has been really helpful for me. But, you know, my character defects have shown up many times. The control issue is always there, but I don't try to control nearly as much. I've learned how to work in groups. I worked with an active alcoholic one time. Thank God for this program, because he would come to work drunk, which was interesting to say the least, but he didn't bother me as much as the other people because I had a program. But I know that I treat people with respect, regardless of how I feel about them. I always treat them with respect. And I have learned, let's see, what did I just have to accept people as they are. That's, I like that we're doing acceptance too, because I had a lot of trouble accepting myself for the way I am. I'm always judging myself, and I am harder on myself than I am anybody else, or that anybody else could possibly be on me. But I have learned that I am human, and being human is good enough. And if I make a mistake, that's fine. And I've, trust me, I've made a lot of them in service, because I almost always take on a job that I don't have a clue what I'm doing to begin with. And by the end, I kind of know what I'm doing. But I'm also thankful that we have a rotation of service so that I don't become a dominant person and keep this position forever, like I've seen sometimes. Let's see. I don't know why my mind has kind of gone blank today, but I do appreciate being here. And I have done service at all different levels and learned things through each one of those. And, you know, the personalities, I think personalities, principles above personalities was hard at first for me, especially at assembly. And I heard this one time, I was sitting there just kind of all rigid, and I heard this sweet little voice next to me go, "Principles before personalities." And I thought, oh yeah, okay. And you know, but there are so many teachers that I've had in this program, just watching other people and learning from them, and not having to try everything that I think I need to try. I can listen to what other people have to say. But I've already kind of ran out of things, but I haven't talked that long. Maybe I need to go through. I started out as GR, and then I was a DR for 4 years. One of the lessons I learned there was not to take on too many service positions, because I think at one time I had 5, which is way too many. And I was going to school and working at the same time. And of course, I don't have to work on my recovery when I'm doing that. I mean, I don't have to really look at myself because I'm too busy. And so I learned a lot about myself in that. And in fact, to show you how crazy I was at that time, I was finishing up school, decided to get married the week after I graduated. My son decided to get married the night before I did. And I had to plan the wedding and do all of that stuff while I was planning for graduation. And I think that's when I finally learned not to take on too much and to ask for help, because I really had to have a lot of help on my wedding. But for some reason, I used to think that I had to do everything. And watching how everyone works together in Al-Anon, and the fact that people are willing to help, and I've learned to let them do what they need to do instead of micromanaging, that has helped me immensely, and be accepting of what they do, even though it may be different than I intended for it to be. That's fine, because they have often better ideas than I do. And it comes out even better than I could have hoped for. And even if it doesn't, that's fine too. And, you know, it's helped me with most of my relationships with my children, except for one. I'm still struggling with one of them, but, and that's okay too. He's wrapped up in his disease and I have to back off. And it's taught me that all I can do is pray for him and love him and nothing else. You know, I used to be one that would get people to get in the car with me. I don't do that as much. Well, we haven't for the last couple of years, but you know, that is, it is so much fun to travel with people in recovery, going to assemblies or conferences or whatever. And, you know, and watching other people grow. And being able to suggest to someone, you know, you might be good at this job. Because I know that's all I needed to hear in the beginning was, I think you can do this job, because I sure didn't think I could. But having someone else point that out to me and then thank me and, you know, be willing there to be there to guide me a little bit if I had a question about whatever I was doing and wasn't sure what the results should be. Or what path I should take, I had someone that I could always ask. And no matter what service position I've done, I've been able to do that. And, you know, that always carries into all of the other parts of my life too, is to be able to ask for help. I am vertically challenged. I'm a little less than 5 feet tall, so I can't reach a lot of things, but you should see me in the grocery store sometimes trying to climb up on things, but I finally learned to even ask a stranger to get something for me off the shelf rather than try to risk knocking down the whole shelf. But I mean, that was so hard for me just to say I couldn't do something all by myself, but I did need help, even if it was something that simple. And service has given me that I can trust. It also helped me to trust people more, because everyone, well, maybe not everyone, but the majority of people, when they say they're going to do something in Al-Anon, they do it. I wasn't used to that. I was used to someone saying they were going to do something and then not showing up for days or, you know, so my trust level went way up, and I learned I could trust other people. And I also learned I could trust myself, because I had heard so long that I didn't see what I saw and I didn't hear what I heard, that having other people trust me and feel like I could do these jobs really made a big difference in me. And my confidence grew over all of those things. And, you know, we're never really given anything that we can't handle in the program, I don't believe. Even if it seems like a job that's beyond me, it isn't really. Like I said, with all the help I get, and just the moral support is amazing. And, you know, and one of the big rewards when you're really involved in service is all the people you get to meet. I mean, Judy and I met 20 years ago, I think, 21 years ago. You know, I see Carrie here, met Carrie through service, Helene, I know Penny's here. All of these friendships that I have, my world was very small when I got here. I was isolated and it was just my immediate family and nobody else. And now I have people I know from all over, all over the world. And, you know, that is absolutely amazing to me. And the fact that I can actually talk in front of more than two people is also pretty amazing to me because that was so hard and it still sometimes is. You know, I think that's, I'm going to start repeating myself, I'm afraid. So I think I will finish with that. Thank you very much for asking me to do this. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. So glad you could come join us today. I enjoy hearing about the road trips, the Al-Anon road trips. Okay, so our next speaker, our final speaker for today is Lori Kay from Montana. If you would like to go ahead, Lori. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you, Lane, for asking me to do this. Also, I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to do this. And what a great way that you guys are doing this and presenting it. It's really amazing. And gosh, I have to say ditto to the two ladies before me. You said a whole lot of things that I had on my list too. And it's really amazing what service has done. And I guess a little bit of an introduction about me is that I've been in the program for a bit. And I came into the program and I came into a meeting that was very service oriented. And so service has framed my entire recovery. I'm really, really grateful for that. And I was given examples of so many people within my home group that did things at the district level and at the area level. And so I was a little more familiar, didn't quite seem as foreign to me as it might have otherwise. And I'm really grateful for that. And it also helped be a guidance when I was doing different service positions. I could ask someone in my home group, usually my sponsor, because my sponsor may have done that position. And I would have to say that I'm also sort of one of these people that public speaking is not my forte. I don't enjoy it, so to speak, but I've gotten much better at it than what I have. It's been the practice of service. It's being at area assemblies and needing to present something about something. I don't quite trip over my tongue as much as I used to. You know, those kinds of things have really helped me grow. And I guess, you know, one thing that has popped up to me that when I was going, thank you for these questions, they were great. I sort of put some ideas down here. And one thing was willingness. When I first came into the program, would you set up the chairs? Would you be a greeter? I suppose so. I wasn't very willing. And I was so fearful. That was why. And that was why I don't think I was very willing. I didn't know about you guys yet. You know, I was holding back. But as I've gone along, I've become more and more willing. And I think the one position that changed my willingness more than anything was when I was DR. I went into the position not being totally willing to do it. But once I got in there, and once I was really got exposed to folks at area, Donna was there at the time. Other people that may be on this call were also there. You know, I created a network of people I knew. And those people I still know. I still call. And some of my very, very best friends that are my closest allopals are the people that I work with in service. You know, I don't hesitate, even if I haven't talked to someone for a bit, to give them a call and ask them, hey, I'm struggling with this or I need some help with this. Can you give me some guidance on that? And I really appreciate having that. And so that's because I don't have to figure it out myself. It's so much easier to just go along, whatever I'm doing, a moment at a time. And when something comes up, then I can reach out. And so that's given me confidence and confidence in what I'm doing. That I think one of the readings that I've read is that I was always fearful and I'll share that at the end. But anyway, I've created confidence because I've had people that are loving, they're supportive, they are not critical. If I do screw up, they will point it out in a very loving manner and suggest something different. And that is just, but they're always there for me. And that has just really created my confidence. It's created my ability to critically think about things and to make decisions. Decisions are not an easy thing for me, but I got to make decisions at all of those various things and how things were going about. And how to streamline my life, keep it simple. That is a big slogan I need to keep in front of me a lot because I overthink a lot of things and overthinking never helps me. And so it's been those kinds of things I've seen. And I think one other thing that I've really, really seen at the area level is I remember the conversations where people didn't agree. And I know it's been mentioned before. And I'm going, that was really different for me than the Al-Anon meetings, because that wasn't really how it was unless some group consciences. And you would disagree. And it was just really great because everyone had a voice. Everyone could say what they were thinking. I never had that before Al-Anon. Or I didn't think I did. I do now. And so when we would say whatever we said, that was that person's perspective. That's what they genuinely believed was for the best. Other people would generally believe something different and would share an opposing opinion. That's good because it took my black and white thinking from being just black and white to having some gray in it, into looking at people in a bigger scope and how they are and what they are. And that was just a really true gift to me, is that, gosh, and it wasn't about me. You know, that's the whole thing that, you know, before I get so caught up in, oh gosh, you know, if they disagree, it's about me. No, it's not about me. It is what it is. And how do we work through this process to find a solution? And that's all we do, is work through the process. The solution is voted on in that case by the GRs. So it's there's not this combative kind of thing going on. It's a very, very formulated way of doing things, which is a very healthy way of doing things. And so that I really appreciate. And so much the folks that I've talked with at area and whatnot we present the things. Everyone talks about it. And then the outcome is what it is. And it's in God's hands. It's not ours to decide. And to me, that has just been huge, that, you know, I can do certain things. And it's helped me to be more trusting of people. It's helped me to be more open with people. It's helped me to have greater humility, to realize that there's a whole bigger picture. A whole ton of gratitude. Grateful for the opportunity to be able to serve in positions. I really appreciate that. I appreciate being asked today because, you know, it caused me to put my hat on and to really dig a little bit. And I've grown because I've dug some, and I will grow from sharing with you guys. I guess some things that I have taken are some other things that I have also gained is compassion. Compassion for the other person and the other point of view. You know, everyone has the right. And so, I have a greater thought for that. And some ways I've taken this out into my life that have helped me is my mom and I, when I came into Al-Anon, was a very fragile, it was a somewhat fighting relationship. And I took the principles of Al-Anon and I took the service, how can I be of service to my mom? And I went into our relationship with how can I be of service, having no expectation of any outcome. And that has made the biggest difference. I now can let go. She's just doing the same thing she's always done that tripped my triggers. I just can let go of them now because I don't need to have that peace. It's not a part I need. And so I have a wonderful relationship with my mom right now and have gotten so many gifts that she's given me about what she shared about her life, her early life and things like that, that I never would have gotten otherwise. And I guess some of the things that another one that was really helpful for me is, I'm no longer a member, but I was a member of an organization that's locally here in Bozeman that is an equestrian organization, and we put on horse shows. And I've always enjoyed that. And we started that organization with about three of us. And we were doing local horse shows and things like that. And because of the service work I have done, I could dream bigger. I could think bigger. And so I was able to take that to a level where we put on recognized shows, nationally recognized shows here in Bozeman. And we could bring people in. And I could take how I did service also in that I don't have to do it all. We can delegate. We can break these down into small tasks that are very manageable. So a lot of people can do them. And so that has been really a growing opportunity for myself too. I guess some of the barriers I thought I've overcome is I tend to be judging. I tend to be a perfectionist. That just is sort of how I roll. And I just don't pick up that as often. It's still there. I just don't pick it up as often. I let it go. And the perfectionism, it's like, well, you know, hey, I'm human and I'm just going along. And that's just how it is. And I look at myself in a much different way now also, because I've been much more accepting of how others, what they do and say. I've become much more accepting of myself and looking at myself in a kinder way, in a more loving way. And so that has been really an immense benefit I've gotten. And I guess one other quick thing I have is, you know, speaking and doing service things have been scary, but they're not anymore, or not as much so. And I guess one reading I just wanted to share, because it's the reading that I always pick up when I choose to do a new service position or before I choose to do a new service position. I'm just going to read it really quick. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies those who are called. Am I listening? Al-Anon believes that our benefits are measured by our willingness to share them with others, for we know we never give as much as we receive. And that's been true for me. I've received far more than I've ever given. And the times when it's been a lot of work, it seems like a lot of work, I remember the rewards. And I think that's all I have to share. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much, Lori, for that share. Appreciate it. I'm glad you were here today. If you guys have any other questions you can come up with for the moderator, please go ahead and chat those to her in a private chat. And let's take one more moment to thank all the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope today by giving the American Sign Language clap. Thanks again. Now, I'll turn it over to our moderator to use the rest of the time to get your questions answered.
Thank you. Holy wow, that was amazing. Just want to give another thanks to all of our speakers. Oh, thank you for saying yes. I'm very happy to have been here. I did get quite a few questions from our membership. Y'all are amazing. Thank you very much. I'm going to let you know who the question is for, and then, or if it's opened up to all of you, I'll give you the speaking order, if you will. Please keep your answers brief, about 2 minutes or so, so that we can answer as many questions as possible. So the first question is to Judy, specifically. Judy, it says, I too sometimes mistake passion for anger. Are there any tips or tricks that you have that can help me to remember that sometimes it's my perception that is what makes everything seem so scary?
Oh my goodness. Tips or tricks. I don't know that I have a lot of tips or tricks other than sometimes I just have to, and I'm not really great at this, but a lot of times I have to like put the idea of think before I speak into action. Because oftentimes I can perceive something as being, maybe different than it is. And I know that if I try to think before I speak, and if I also try to, hear what is said from the other viewpoint, in other words, if I try to put myself in that other person's shoes and think about what is said, sometimes that diffuses it a little bit for me too, because I too am guilty sometimes of saying something kind of bluntly and not meaning for it to sound as harsh as it does. And so if I do that, I think that helps me a lot. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Judy. And then I have a question specifically for Donna. So Donna, what tools did you use to overcome your initial dislike of your sponsee?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, you know, I treated her pretty much like I did all my other sponsees. And, you know, one of the things I've learned here is presume goodwill. And I also had to look at, she was really a hurt little girl is what it was. It was the little girl in her that made her so unlikable, because I think she was trying to head off any hurt ahead of time, so she would be abrasive to everybody. And so just a lot of just love and patience. And she took a lot of patience. And so don't ever ask for patience unless you really want a lesson in it. But you know, by the time I got done, she passed away after a couple of years. But you know, I really did love her. But it was, I guess, just treating her like I would treat any other sponsee, and, you know, just the love of the program and trying to share with her what I had learned early on. I don't know, it's a specific tool other than listening and patience probably are the two that I use the most.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Lori, there's one specifically for you. You talked about using the slogan, keep it simple in service. And I noticed that others are still in the midst of learning about this and they overcomplicate things. What tools do you use to have acceptance to meet others where they are?
Thank you for the question. Let me think about that for a sec. And keeping it simple for myself, sometimes I just write things out and that clarifies my mind and go from there. And when I'm working with someone else, say a sponsee or something like that, I try, and usually when I'm not keeping it simple myself, I'm talking about more than one issue. And if I'm talking with a sponsee, that's usually the case also. I've got a lot of things going on. And I separate, try to say, okay, well, we're talking about this, let's talk about that. And then there's also this, let's talk about that. And then let's talk about this. And they're all separate issues. And we need to look at each one and see what we can or can't do to change you know, to look at this differently and have a different perspective of what is all going on.
Thanks, Lori. And I've asked Fred G from Brooklyn, New York, if he would share for a couple of minutes on acceptance, and he said yes. So Fred, if you could unmute and share, that'd be great.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, thank you. There are a few things on acceptance. I'll give you some of my experiences. In our local district workshop, most years we had a 3A meeting, Awareness, Acceptance, and Action. And I always wanted to rename it Awareness, Acceptance, 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 Action. Because it's my belief that the acceptance is the hardest part. And I have always gotten voted down. I even stopped bringing it up. But I had to accept that. Okay, that was the, you know, it wasn't even the district. It was the district workshop committee that never accepted it. But I've had other things too. And I had a lot of identity with all your speakers because I came into a group that was very service oriented, even though I didn't know it. So I always heard about different things. And I got involved in service. And while I was serving as area chair, we had a very tough debate on some subject. I don't remember the subject. And the old me would have been devastated because both sides seemed to be against me. You know, there was a hot topic that was discussed. I don't remember the topic, like I said. But I took it as, oh, both sides were equally annoyed with me. I must have done a good job as chairperson. And I think that's one of the lessons I learned in Al-Anon. And also that we once had a different hot topic when I was much newer in service and we were at a committee meeting. And we used to go to a diner after the meeting. And the two people who were the most at odds with each other sat next to each other and a very calm, nice discussion. We had a nice meal. And it's like, oh, people can agree to disagree. And, you know, unlike an alcoholic home where you can't agree to disagree because someone's right, someone's wrong, this and that. So all those things did help teach me acceptance. And I think that's really important. And service work, I've always shared when I share part of my story that one way my recovery is broken up is 25% the slogans, 25% the steps, 25% the tradition, and 25% the concepts of service. So service has played an important role in my recovery. And I still stay active with doing various things, even though I don't have official position except for GR for one group. But I do volunteer for our intergroup answer phones remotely now, et cetera. So thank you. Acceptance can be really hard though. Acceptance for me is the hardest part of awareness, acceptance, and action. My disease went from the awareness to the action. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fred. Very good, very good. All right, so I have a question that's going to be for all three speakers. And so we'll do, we'll do Lori, then Judy, then Donna. How about that? So the question is, has serving improved your dependence on your higher power? Go right ahead.
Absolutely. It's just been a really great road to my higher power, and that when I'm doing things, I'm asking for guidance on what to do instead of thinking of what my own self will might be. And I'm looking for the best for the all, which is the traditions and the concepts a lot too, but it's also the higher power and the guidance and the strength I get. Part of the reason I can speak and do things like that is what I've been given by my higher power, as well as what I've been given through service and my other parts of my program. So Yes.
Absolutely was the word I had also. I have asked my higher power for help a lot of times in service, for guidance, also to help me keep my personality out of certain areas of service so that I can, you know, so that I can be of service instead of, you know, getting in the way of myself. So my higher power, yeah, I need my higher power for a lot of things. I particularly need my higher power for service things.
Absolutely here too. You know, I couldn't do this without my higher power. I do think that maybe it brought me closer than anything else, because when I was nervous about anything that I was having to do in service, I would pray about it before I got up to talk or before I, said anything a lot of times. And if things were getting a little inky, sometimes I just say the serenity prayer, but it has taught me how to pray before I have uncomfortable conversations with people, or it did bring me much closer. And I think just having great examples around me is because of the service has helped bring that closer too. So I sure couldn't do it without a higher power. That's
fantastic answers. Thank you. I have asked Carrie Kay if she would speak. She's from Virginia on the topic of acceptance, and she said yes. So Carrie, if you could unmute and share.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. Well, it's afternoon here, but good morning to all of you. Yes, because it is afternoon here, I've already been to a meeting today. My home group meeting is a Saturday morning meeting, and we're still meeting on Zoom. And funnily enough, the topic of the three A's came up there too. And I was sharing that for me, awareness, I love the three A's. It's really one of my favorite Al-Anon tools. But for me, where I am today anyway, I said, God, awareness is like my least favorite part of that. Because it's just so uncomfortable sitting there. Because usually it's kind of an unwelcome awareness, you know, like, oh, I'm struggling with something that now is finally really obvious to me. Or, oh, I got a glimpse of what I look like or act like when I thought I was acting better than that. And I did get a lot of those kinds of awarenesses. I became aware of a lot of defects of character the more I started interacting with people when I was new in Al-Anon. And, you know, I think the discomfort is that that awareness is the place where, oh, now I know it, but I haven't yet accepted it, right? So what I am grateful for today is that acceptance follows that. It's kind of like, thank God for step two, right? Because step one is kind of a doozy, but luckily the program doesn't end there, right? Like there's more after that. And so, this reading that was read at the beginning of the meeting said, the conscious effort I'd made to practice acceptance during a 2-minute telephone conversation had a far-reaching effect on the rest of my day. And I identify with that. I identify with that in the context of a meeting, but I identify it also like in a much bigger context as well, that being able to accept the things about myself that I've become aware of as a result of being in meetings and putting myself in a position to learn about myself. It really has made my life easier. It didn't seem like it was at the time in the beginning. Like it takes a while, I think, to develop that faith and trust that the program is working how it's supposed to, because it can feel so awkward and uncomfortable sometimes. But to now have that trust that, okay, yes, I'm feeling some awareness that I didn't really want, but what comes afterwards can be acceptance, that makes it possible for me to continue to move forward. Before I knew that, you know, I was always fighting reality because I didn't have any way of dealing with anything that I became aware of. I didn't have any way of dealing with what was happening in the reality of my, all of my alcoholic relationships. You know, I didn't want what was happening to be happening, and I didn't have any way of dealing it with it. So I just really fought the idea of awareness. And then, you know, feeling the relief that comes with that surrender and with that acceptance and understanding that it's opens the door to so much hope and possibility, is a thing that I was glad to be reminded of it today, even when I found myself saying like, ugh, awareness is the worst. There was a little voice in the back of my head too that said, oh, but wait, but wait, there's more, right? Like acceptance is coming. Now that you've gotten the awareness, acceptance is coming. And it just doesn't seem like it always still, even after, you know, a long, many times through the same process, there's still a part of me that's like, is it really going to work this time? Is it really going to work that if I just say, okay, yes, this is what's happening, and I'm going to, you know, ask my higher power for acceptance and the willingness to face this reality, is it really going to make that much of a difference? It makes a big difference. So I'm glad that it continues to work. I'm glad that my doubts have no impact on Al-Anon's ability to work. I'm not that powerful. And thanks again for putting on the workshop and asking me to participate. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Good stuff. All right, I got another question specifically for Judy. Judy, you talked about looking for the similarities in others instead of the differences. Is there a tool that you use that helps you with this? It's a good question.
Yeah, these are good questions. Well, I know that early in Al-Anon, looking for the similarities, gave me that feeling of identification in the group. I mean, it made me feel like I belonged because I recognized that we had these things in common. And I think that that's what I go for when I'm working with others, is I'm searching around for something that helps me make a connection. With the general population, it could be anything, like, you know, how are your parents, or, you know, anything to change the subject a little bit to something that we might have a common interest in and can talk about. You know, it could be some kind of line of work. It could be, like I said, parents or kids or whatever. It's just the idea that of trying to steer myself to something that isn't specifically me. So that we can start to have an interaction about. And I know that was so helpful to me in Al-Anon meetings. It still is so helpful to me today when I sit in the room and I feel like, oh yeah, that person gets it. You know, that person gets it because they're talking about something that resonates with me. And that's the feeling that I tried to get to when I'm talking with others. So thanks for the question.
Thanks, Judy. All right, so we have a question specifically for Donna. Donna, you said that you learned that first impressions are not always accurate. How has that changed your relationships inside and outside of the program?
That's a very good question. You know, if I don't go with my first thoughts, I'm always, because my first thoughts are usually a little twisted sometimes. So that's why I often hesitate before I say something, because it comes out kind of weird or not. Yeah, I try not to say what I'm thinking every time, because it's, but it has improved my relationships, because if I'm not judgmental of them, because that's what my first impression sometimes is, or often is, is a judgment. And if I try not to be judgmental, because I'm looking at their outside, not their inside, and I don't know what their inside is when I first see them. So, you know, I try to get to know them a little bit, and that judgment goes away if I just listen to them and just talk to them about whatever it is. You know, I met this guy yesterday that I talked about having the great conversation with, and I didn't really have a judgment, but, you know, apparently I asked the right question. My only impression was that I didn't think he might be much of a talker. Boy, was I wrong on that one. And because I asked him a couple of questions and he opened up, and I got to know this guy really, you know, we were together for 6 hours, and, you know, that's another indication of what and this doesn't have anything to do with Al-Anon. On this case, it wasn't an Al-Anon thing. You know, if I take that judgment out of there in any personal relationships or Al-Anon relationships, because, you know, I can make a judgment when someone walks into a meeting. Of course, a lot of times it's, boy, are they in a lot of pain when it's their first meeting, is my first thought. And that one usually is right. You know, it does help every relationship, just the clerks in the grocery store or whatever. If they're having a bad day, I, you know, just can kind of, oh, they're a little cranky today. But instead of judging them, I just want to say, I don't know what their experience is. Maybe it wasn't too great at home today and they're taking it out on us or whatever. But, you know, my husband does a great thing. He always just says, I'm so glad you showed up for work today. And, you know, that changes people's demeanor. I mean, they can't have a smart comeback for that usually. So, and I try to kind of follow his example, just always be cheerful to them and hope that that makes their day a little bit better.
Thanks, Donna. Well, you guys asked some really amazing questions. Lori. Got a question here that says, you talked about dreaming bigger and thinking bigger outside of Al-Anon. What a great side effect of service and putting yourself out there. Is it possible to get there without acceptance?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't think I could get there without acceptance, because I wouldn't be accepting of myself. I would still be looking at my character defects and I would be defining myself with them. And the other aspect of that is that service has given me so many just functional tools to do my life with that I've done under different circumstances than in the workplace. And when I am doing that, I'm being accepted for however I'm doing them, whether it's right or wrong. And so I don't think so. I don't think I would have been too fearful to dream big, because I wouldn't have had the opportunity of service. And I'm trying to think, there's one, I guess it must not be important. It's not coming into my mind. There's one other thought I had, but it went. So I'm done.
I hate when that happens. Thanks, Lori. Let's see. I have asked, I got a volunteer for speaking on acceptance. Someone's got some experience, strength, and hope to share. Cindy M. from Arizona, can you want to unmute and give us a couple of minutes?
Thanks, Luann. I'm Cindy, and I was just blown away by everybody sharing. So I'm just real grateful. It brought up a lot of stuff. This morning at my home group, we were studying the closing, which is the last chapter in how Al-Anon works. And it talks in there. Well, let me just say, first of all, on the topic of acceptance, you know, you guys have shared already about the three A's, which is what came to my mind as well, the awareness, the acceptance, and the action. And I always like to throw in a fourth A, and that's attitude. Because without a positive attitude or changed attitude, I can't be very positively aware of what needs to be accepted or what needs to be, you know, what actions to take. And so for me, acceptance, I have to accept that there is a higher power You know, I choose to call the higher power God. So accepting God comes first in the first three steps, and then accepting myself in, you know, 4 through 9, and then I get to accept others. And so in the closing today, it talks about, you may not like all of us, but you'll love us in a very special way, the same way we already love you. And let the understanding, love, and peace of the program grow in you one day at a time. And so that word love came to mind, you know, that very special way that we love each other. I get to listen intently. I get to overlook your character defects. I get to value your character assets, and I get to encourage you. So I love you all. This program has taught me to breathe and to pause. Ask God for the right words and the right actions. And I like the acronym for PAUSE, pray always until serenity enters. So with that, I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for all your shares. Thanks.
Thanks, Cindy. Good stuff. Oh, you guys are just amazing this morning. Everyone was properly caffeinated. I have one final question that came in from people, and it is, we'll just put it out for everybody because it didn't come in for anyone specific. Do you find that you are better today at accepting yourself unconditionally as who you are? And if so, is it easier for you to be more accepting of others just as they are because of it? And let's go, we'll start with Donna this time, and then Judy, and then Lori.
Good question. Yes, I think I am. It took a long time to get to that point, but I can accept my flaws, and but I think I really know who I am now, which for a long time I didn't know who I was, and I was always afraid I would find things that I didn't like about myself, but overall I really do like myself. And by liking myself, it makes it much easier to like and love other people. And loving myself too. I shouldn't just say like, that's not strong enough a word, but it enabled me to show other people that I love them too. And to, because I grew up with a family that did not show a lot of affection. So, as many of us have, but I just think if I don't love myself, or even like myself, how can I possibly like someone else? I mean, that projects out onto someone else if I'm not in a good space with myself. So anyway, that's all I've got. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, when I got to Al-Anon, I seriously did not ever want to be this introspective. It was just so much easier to look at everybody else and just to look at myself. And but through this process of needing to look at myself in order to, you know, in order to become the person that I would rather be, that meant that I really had to look at myself and take that inventory and, you know, and look at those character defects. I believe that I'm more accepting of myself today, partly because I began to understand, first of all, that it was okay not to be perfect. It was okay to make a mistake now and again, that you know, I could learn from those in the same manner that I could learn from a success that I had. And so once I got past that idea of, you know, I had to have this veneer of perfection around me, it was much easier then to accept myself as I am. And that's, you know, obviously been really helpful to me in accepting others too, because, you know, I know too that many times when I'm feeling like I don't like something in somebody else, it's because it's something that I need to work on. I mean, I'm a real believer in that. And so I have, I think, become more compassionate of other people too, because I can, you know, I can understand now that if I can make a mistake, if I cannot be perfect, then that's the way other people are too, you know, that it's just one of those things that we have in common again. So, so I think, yes, I have really become more accepting of others more compassionate of others. So thanks.
I would say that I also have become more accepting of others. And I guess a compassion would be the word that I use because when I'm struggling with someone is how can I have compassion for this person? How can I look at where they're at and what they're doing and see that they are doing the best that they can? And that has been a really, really key tool for me to help to accept others. When I'm compassionate with others, I can be compassionate with myself and I can be less critical of what I am or am not doing. I can realize that it really isn't, yes, I do need to dig these things out. And yes, I need to be right with the world, but I don't need to beat myself up. I can allow myself to be a human and I can allow myself to do the best that I can and understand that I'm on this road and more is going to be revealed. And I probably am going to become more and more accepting and I'm going to get greater healing as time goes on with Al-Anon and with the program. And so that's what I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Lori. Good stuff. All right. So we only have a few minutes left. I've asked Patty from Michigan if she could share on her experience with acceptance, and she's going to take it home. Take it home, Patty.
Hi, everybody. I really want to say that thank you. Thank you all for being here in the workshop. It was wonderful. I'm so glad that I made it. So many times I thought, oh, I'm going to join you, and I didn't make it. So I'm glad I did today. I was looking at awareness, acceptance, action too. And one of the readings that I was looking at talked about somebody always becoming aware and then jumping into action. And that definitely was me before Al-Anon. And I remember before Al-Anon too, at one time reading the Serenity Prayer. I knew about the Serenity Prayer. And I thought it was the alcoholic's prayer. And I said, well, that's it. I can't be an alcoholic because I cannot get serenity about accepting things I can't change. I mean, how can you possibly do that? And so I had a lot to learn in Al-Anon. And thankfully, I had a lot of Al-Anon angels that were there to teach me. Today, there are always... You know, I don't deal with active disease, but of course, I'm still affected by what I had in my life. So today, there are other things that are going on that I have to accept. I have to accept that I can't change people, places, and things still today. And I then have to give them to God, give the whole situation to my higher power, my God, and let go of it. And sometimes it takes more than a minute to do that. But I do know that it works. And for me to be at peace with myself, which is something that I choose not to give up for anything or any situation, then I have to do that. And I've learned how to do that, even though sometimes it takes a lot more than just one try at it. So I really thank everybody for being here. And I really enjoyed the workshop. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. All right, there have been some amazing questions. You guys are really hard. Don't ever make a test for me. And the answers just blew my mind. So I am very happy to have been here and participated in this. So I'm going to turn it back over to Maureen, who's going to close us out. So take it over, Maureen.
Yes, I definitely have taken away a lot of good things today, and I'm so glad that everybody was able to join us in some recovery today. So let's thank our speakers one more time, because everybody did a great job. And yeah, the answers and the questions were all wonderful. So I wanted to just let you guys know, our next workshop is going to be Thursday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. Phoenix, Arizona time. And remember that we do not go on daylight savings time, so we're the same time as the West Coast. And our topic is going to be for September is going to be Discovering My Natural Treasures, Tradition 7. And our speakers for Thursday are going to be Marsha M. from California, K.M. from Texas, and Penny K. from Montana. So I hope to see you guys all there Thursday evening with us. So now I'd like to go ahead and close with the Al-Anon Declaration. If you guys want to unmute and say it with me, that'd be great too. Thank you. Let it begin with me.
When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help.
Look at the hand of Al-Anon, always be there, and let it begin with me.